Good morning. You're listening to author, activist, and journalist Cory Doctorow and Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for September 25th, 2018. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, Chip, it's time for the quiz. Are you ready?
I'm ready for the quiz.
All right. So my students are studying all about podcasting and TED Talks this week.
What?
Uh-huh. So tell me, Chip, what episode number of Too Much Scrolling is this?
This is a lot. Does that count? Is that close enough?
I think that's accurate.
I don't know. I'm going to say, I'm guessing without even doing it, 500?
No, sir. This is episode 221.
221. Of course.
We have done this together every week for 221 consecutive weeks without a break.
And this is where we thank our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because many of them have been with us since the beginning.
That's very true. We have so many listeners that started with us over 4 years ago and are still listening today. Thank you very much to all of our supporters who've brought us to this point.
And their checks will be in the mail.
Well, or they can support us on Patreon.
That's the way we do it.
We could do that too. Okay, question number two. TED Talks. Have you seen any TED Talks?
I've watched a lot of TED Talks.
Do you love them?
I love TED Talks.
What does TED stand for?
That's the gentleman who founded Google, right?
No.
I don't know.
Technology, entertainment, and design.
Really?
Yes. All of those wonderful TED Talks are all about technology, entertainment, and design. Now, to be fair, they've sort of branched into other things since their founding, but TED Talks are such a great way to find more information.
There was a spoof. I don't know if you've seen the spoof of TED Talks, but there's a gentleman who put together a spoof a TED Talk, because there is a formula to putting on a TED Talk.
Yes, there is.
And there was, and it's very much in the history of the gentleman who put together the PowerPoint display of the Gettysburg Address, who basically showed what a poor format PowerPoint can be at addressing information or giving information. TED Talks are a little more effective, but there definitely is. There are so many of them that we can definitely do a spoof of those.
Okay, question number three.
Okay.
When was TED established as a thing for communication? Give me a wild guess.
8 years ago.
1984.
Really?
Before the World Wide Web, before Google, TED was an organization for sharing information.
I thought Google put together TED. Are they just the big distributor of it?
I don't know that Google has anything to do with TED.
Well, then I am totally off base. I thought they did.
There you go. There's your quiz for the day.
Well, TED has been very fascinating because it goes all over the United States. I'm assuming it goes all over the world. And it'll arrive on some campus, and they'll do a day's recording.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, fascinating. I've always enjoyed TED Talks.
Me too.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see The Endless from 2017. What's that one about?
All right, so The Endless was released earlier this year, maybe in April of this year.
Okay.
For mass consumption. I got to see it through iTunes, the 99-cent movie of the week. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while they have one. And this one was recommended. It was highly recommended. It's been given a lot of good ratings through Rotten Tomatoes. And it is a very low budget. I shouldn't say it's not the lowest of low budget, but certainly not a big budget type film. It takes place basically at a camp, which we are told that it's a cult. And there's a mystery going on. And the mystery is these two brothers, or these two gentlemen, somehow escaped. And they're going back because they want to see it take place.
They're returning to the camp. Cult.
Yeah, they're returning. They receive a tape. The tape looks interesting. They're going to go do it. This is sort of UFO-ish, but not really. And but there's a twist that keeps going on, and as the movie goes on, it's revealed. This is a great example, truly is of interesting example of movies that can have a lot of Twilight Zone-ish without really giving all the special effects and making it grand or anything that
suspense nature. Does not have to be special effects and monsters. It can be just your mind working on this puzzle.
Exactly.
Wow.
Very much like the old Twilight Zones. Burgess Meredith breaks his glasses at the end and realizes that, you know, he's got all the time in the world to read books, right?
The monsters are due on Maple Street.
That's right.
There's no actual monsters.
Well, The Endless has a... When you start getting the reveals, you kind of go, oh, that's kind of interesting. Oh, that's kind of interesting. That explains this. Mm-hmm. That explains that. And then it ends. And you really are kind of left out there to let your mind work and let your mind play on this movie some. So I do recommend this. If you do not mind a slow build-up, if you don't mind independent films, there's a lot of good to this film. And I think it's worthy of its praise. So I would say definitely 85 out of 100.
Wow, that is a really high number. I was not expecting that high of a number out of you.
This is not for everyone, but I definitely enjoyed it.
All right, you also got a chance to see Dying Laughing. What's that one?
No, this is an interview of a whole bunch of comedians, and it's about the craft of writing comedy and performing comedy. And what you get from it is you get people like Emo Phillips, and you get people like Jamie Foxx. Jerry Seinfeld is certainly the person at the pinnacle of this. But you have Jim Carrey's in this. There's a whole lot of interviews. Sandra Bernhardt was in this.
Okay.
And I haven't seen Sandra Bernhardt in a long, long time. But
she does a lot of NPR. So if you listen to NPR, you hear from Sandra Bernhardt.
Okay. You have Sarah Silverman in this.
Your favorite.
Oh, yes. In fact, the deal is I think she's charming.
I agree.
But I do not connect with her comedy. Her comedy seems very, in my opinion, grotesque.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason for it being this grotesque.
I agree.
She's too smart to be this. But I'm going to be very blunt about this. The entire time you're watching this, you are understanding the craft of writing comedy. Because you are standing on a stage by yourself. You are talking about something that could be esoteric, could be something that most of us would not feel comfortable talking in a party atmosphere or a public atmosphere. But you are talking about the challenges of the day. And I have a lot of respect for this. You get immediate feedback and very humbling feedback. There's a story of a comedian that is absolutely bombing. And he knows he's bombing. And over to his left, off stage, are, I think, Bo Jackson and Michael Jordan.
Wow.
So if I'm doing this wrong...
Some sort of athletic superstars.
So, and, you know, these are guys, not just who are good, who are really at the pinnacle of good. But he really bombs, and he's really feeling bad, and he gets off stage, and he's with them. And, you know, they know he's bombed. But he's got another show in a few hours that he's going to have to put on. And some of the comedians back there say, oh, no, you're going to... Yeah, you could be done for the night, or you can, you know, just kind of wipe yourself off and we're going to go out and do it again. And he said the next time we went out, I think he did all right. But this idea that you can absolutely just be crushed by a single performance, say, you know, and you think about, you're always pushing, and people can say things that are in poor taste. And, you know, that may be what Silverman comes to me as in poor taste. But that doesn't mean that I want to censor her. That doesn't mean I dislike her. And I'm trying to think of it. Who was the gentleman who was on Seinfeld that said the racist things a few
Michael Richards.
All right, so Michael Richard, he was not interviewed in this. But, you know, going off the deep end there, can you come back from going off the deep end?
That's a huge question that a lot of people who give extemporaneous speech like that have to think about? I do this 6 times a day in the middle school. Sure. I'm talking to these kids, and if I accidentally say something out of character or accidentally say something in anger, could I lose my job over those words? Absolutely.
People can be very forgiving in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll see how forgiving you are to say to somebody like Louis C.K.
Yeah.
But we also recognize that, you know, they're there to be the provocateurs.
Mm-hmm.
And we get, this is an entire film on the craft of writing, performing, what mentally is going on there. What we can tell is, you know, Seinfeld probably has the classic dream American, the Leave It to Beaver background.
Yeah.
Certainly didn't have a troubled past, seemed like a regular guy and stuff like that. I don't know for sure, but
he still seems like a regular guy.
Sure, and in fact, that's one of the things I get from comedians in coffee, is that many times he's like looking at these comedians who are broken people,
mm-hmm.
and just saying, you don't have to be a broken person to be a comedian.
Right.
But from this, this movie, you get a lot of insight into these people. And many of them do have challenges in their past. And many of them are trying to rise above whatever those challenges were,
mm-hmm.
and whatever the pain was. And so there is definitely a connection between pain and some comedy for many of these comedians. So anyway,
plus time equals comedy.
Jerry Lewis, by the way, is also interviewed in this.
Oh, wow.
So he was a ghost.
he did pass away in the last few years, yeah.
Yes. But anyway, very, very nice. But they didn't have anybody like Carl Reiner. That's kind of interesting. They wouldn't have somebody like that. Or Mel Brooks. But we did get, we definitely got Jerry Lewis, which was a nice nod to a generation of comedians.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. I would say probably 60 out of 100.
Okay, so that's your normal level. You're not going to praise it too highly, but it looks like a good one. Dying Laughing looks like something that maybe I should look into. Opening this week, maybe there's some good movies coming out. Their first one is called Night School. I think everybody has seen the commercial for this movie.
They've got a little bit of promotion behind
them,
Steve.
There's quite a bit of promotion.
And Kevin Hart is kind of like
Kevin Hart. Yeah, everybody wants to see Kevin Hart, don't they? Come on, everybody. We're going to the movie theater. It's a Kevin Hart movie.
Of course we are. They certainly have a lot of push for them. He is broadly marketed, they will do a big push on this. If you're going to go out and you want to see a light comedy,
mm-hmm.
With some spoofy laughs, this is probably going to be the one to watch.
Seems good enough. There is a movie called Cruise. This is set in the 1980s. A young Italian-American from the wrong side of the tracks falls for a young Jewish girl from Long Island.
Steve, this seems like a very 80s movie.
Very 80s. Look at the cover on this. You see the font they use is
it looks like Tom Cruise's cocktail.
Oh, Tom Cruise, I get it.
Yes, well, this is definitely much a movie that is kind of a reminder. Maybe it's because our generation has enough power or enough influence.
We are the producers now. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, this looks okay. I will probably see this at some point.
Yeah, probably. There is a drama that probably has some comedy in it called The Old Man and the Gun. This has been announced as Robert Redford's final film. He's retiring from filmmaking after this one.
Now, if I'm going to go to the movie this week, this is the movie I want to see. Very much like, maybe like Grumpier Old Men or Grumpy Old Men.
Yes.
There's a demographic they're trying to hit because it's got Sissy Spacek and Robert Redford
in it. Oh, boy. There you go.
But this is based on a true story about a gentleman who was basically walking into banks, robbing them, falling in love with this other person. Sissy Spacek's character,
mm-hmm.
and kind of going through the interviews, because everyone said the same thing. Oh, he was really nice, but he robbed us. This is based on a true story.
Yeah.
This actually looks really good. I look forward to seeing this at some point.
Yeah, I look forward to the acting prowess of those people. Sissy Spacek did such a great job in Castle Rock. We've talked about that.
Oh, sure.
And Robert Redford, of course, is one of the top actors.
Oh, yeah.
So I look forward to that one. There's a movie called Black 47. This is set in Ireland during the Great Famine.
During the Prepare to Famine, Steve.
Here we go. Send your letters to Chip.
The leprechaun.
Oh, I'm Igora.
All right, so this is the story that takes place during the potato famine. Mm-hmm. This is an Irish man who fought in the British army and then comes back to find out what was going on, and there's a story around it. This also looks really good. I'm going to see this film.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually have a lot of interest in learning more about the potato famine.
Features Hugo Weaving in the main role, so that's some great acting right there.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is called Monsters and Men. This is a very poignant story.
Yeah, very timely story. This is about a black man and a police officer, and basically a person gets shot.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of the story around that. There seems to be, with YouTube and stuff like that, there seems to be a lot of catching these types of bad things that end up happening. Mm-hmm. So this is a very timely movie. I'm sure it's going to find an audience. And be interesting to see how if this is a good film or not. But anyway.
It could be one of those that stands up and makes a difference, and it could be just one of those that we forget about over time.
Sure.
There is a documentary about the rock star Joan Jett. This is called Bad Reputation.
Absolutely. Now, Joan Jett wanted to be a rock and roller. She's from California. And she, at the time, broke a little bit of the glass ceiling. There weren't mm-hmm. very many female rock stars who played guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joan Jett was in a band called The Runaways. There's a movie a few years ago about The Runaways that I happened to miss.
Mm.
I may look that up.
I think you'll find that one.
But this is a little bit about Joan Jett and her career. So, and we're going to have lots of interviews with her. This looks interesting.
I love a great documentary. I love a great biography. This sounds like a really fun one.
Steve, is there a movie that maybe looks like an American Girl movie? Maybe aimed towards little girls who are maybe 7 years old, just say 12 years old?
There's so many stories that are aimed at that demographic. Those girls are so hungry for great narrative. There is a great narrative that has been remade again, and this week it's coming out. It's called Little Women. You may have heard of Little Women as a story from long ago.
Absolutely. Now, I saw the preview of this, mm-hmm. and as the father of two young girls uh-huh. who are in high school now, who were very much into the American Girl films and the dolls and all that other stuff, I could not help but just drawing a parallel. Like this,
right.
The same group that produced this must have made this film, because it is definitely the empowering story for young ladies. Very much in a modern twist of it. So this looks very good, but like I said, I don't have young girls who are 7 to 12 years old.
Very specific demographic for this one. I think grandma is going to take some young girls to the movies for Little Women.
Oh, there
yeah.
we go.
Yeah. The movie that a lot of people have heard about, and I don't know if it's going to be any good, but I have high hopes for Smallfoot.
Smallfoot is an animation film, yes. Steve, and it's made by the same group that makes what?
Hotel Transylvania. This is very similar to the Hotel. That's the same film. That's
yes.
still in that vein. This reminds me so much of Hotel Transylvania, though. The characters in the trailer, I could see if this was an Adam Sandler film, if this was an Andy Samberg film, I would go, okay, I know these characters.
So a Yeti is convinced that humans could be real, Steve.
Yes. The myth of the humans might be verified in the Yeti tradition here.
All right, so this is not being released for Christmas. It's not being released for Thanksgiving. That probably says something.
It does. I think it does.
It could be that it's ready for streaming around that time.
Aha! Just in time for when you're locked in because the snow is falling, you could stream Smallfoot.
I'm assuming there'll be a lot of follow-up films using these same characters, because it seems like that's the way they do.
It's so inexpensive to do it. Once you've drawn the character in the computer, it's so inexpensive to just use those over and over again.
All right, so there you go. We've got our movies for the week.
There we go. I think there's something in there for everyone. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. Yeah, okay. Sit all down right. for a while.
Humor me, Steve.
Okay. You know how much I love the work of Douglas Adams.
A lot of people love him because he's very, very funny.
Wonderful writer.
And he is the author of...
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is his most famed
correct.
Work. But most people know, except for you, that he was a writer for Doctor Who in the 1970s.
Now, I would say many people know, but you can say most.
All of my people knew this.
Of course they do, Steve.
In the 1970s, there was a TV strike where they stopped producing television. And so Douglas Adams had a few scripts that he produced for Doctor Who that never actually made it to the screen. One of them, the most famous one, is called Shada. That was half shot. They shot half of the footage for that, and then the writer's strike made it so they could not finish that production.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that footage was used in lots of other things here and there over the years, and then quite a few people have produced different versions of that story. Shada is something that you can find. The Blu-ray of the animated version is coming out in the next few weeks here in the United States. It came out in Britain at the end of last year, but we have to wait 9 months.
Of course. So that means there's probably no bootlegs out there.
No, absolutely not. There's no way to download that at all. But one thing that we thought about Douglas Adams was we knew everything about him. We had all of his writing until suddenly one more script was found, and it's called Doctor Who and the Cricket Men. This script was written for Doctor Who in the Tom Baker era. Yes, the guy with the scarf and
the curly hair. That's Doctor Who, isn't he?
That is the Doctor Who of the Americas, that's for sure.
That's Doctor Who.
Yes. For now. until 2 weeks from now. But this story was never produced, was never shot. So a brilliant writer named James Goss got this script and made it into a full-length 300-page novel.
Really?
Of this story. This came out in January, and I finally got a chance to read it this week. This is a fantastic story. And a great Douglas Adams writing, and a Doctor Who story featuring Tom Baker's Doctor and all of his adventures.
So this is a Douglas Adams script for a television show,
mm-hmm.
that was made into a 300-page novel.
Yes.
And this was good.
This is really good. James Goss had the opportunity to take the very narrow scope script and to expand it, to tell us more about these characters, to tell us more about these situations, to give us more of the motivation of why these things were planned to be happening on the screen. This is a very in-depth adventure that is very much in the vein of Doctor Who, is very much in the writing style of Douglas Adams. It's got all of Douglas Adams' fun, interesting ideas that are a little different from everybody else's ideas.
The humor that Doug Adams could find, mm-hmm. in a lot of fun stuff.
Yes. One of the things that he had done in the past, and he's very famous for this, he would have an idea, like here he has the idea of the cricket men.
Sure.
Which is a race of people that look like they're playing the sport of cricket. They've got cricket uniforms, they've got cricket bats.
That's exactly what I was going for when I heard cricket men.
It's very British, yeah. It's very British. And he thought up this idea for a Doctor Who script that never got made into a TV show, so he then utilized that idea in one of the subsequent Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy novels. There is a race of cricketers, the Cricket Men, who look like they're playing cricket, but they're actually fighting a war. This is where that story came from.
Really?
This is so intriguing. I was listening to the narration, the Audible book version of this. The narrator did a spot-on impression of Tom Baker here.
Really?
I was in this adventure. This might be my favorite Doctor Who episode. Because
really?
The adventure of it, the humor of it, and again...
Well, you were able to expand a story.
And the expansion. The expansion of the idea of a very narrow screenplay into a 300-page novel is superb. This is one of three novels that have come out in the last year that were Douglas Adams scripts expanded into novels. I'm going to go find the other two.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed this one.
Well, it seems like James Goss, mm-hmm. seems to have found a way to get his name out there,
because mm-hmm.
he could write other things. But my point is that you've got such a built-in audience with Doctor Who.
Yes. I think there's a big audience for Doctor Who, Chip. I think you should come with us and enjoy Doctor Who as much as we do.
I enjoy the people who enjoy Doctor Who, Steve.
Yes, you do. I've brought you to the Doctor Who convention here in Chicago.
And it'll be, we'll go again, Steve.
Yes, sir. It's coming up. So you should get into this. Everybody who's listening to me, you should get into Doctor Who. This is a great way to do it because Douglas Adams is such a wonderful writer. You can kind of forget about the Doctor Who elements of this story and just go with the adventure of this one. It's called Doctor Who and the Cricket Men. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
You know, we've talked a lot about Tommy Wiseau and The Room, the world's worst movie that we love.
That's right. So if this is the first time you're listening to Too Much Scrolling, The Room was a terrible movie.
Yes.
That the public seems to just eat up.
I can't stop watching it. I've probably seen it 6 times at this point.
Did somebody say the Citizen Kane of bad movies?
I have heard that said. The Citizen Kane of bad movies. Tommy Wiseau is such a character. He made this movie. It is a passion story from his language skills and put into something that doesn't make a lot of sense, but we still love it.
So here, as a person who had to buy the Blu-ray so I could watch it, and then watched it, and actually I think I was pretty kind to it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation about this movie this week.
Really?
So it does come up. There is sort of a way it kind of has permeated its way through the public.
Well, remember,
and there's a huge part of the public who has never seen it or heard of it.
Remember, The Disaster Artist was the Oscar-nominated movie that is the making of The Room.
But there are groups of people, Steve, that still have not heard of this film. And all I can say is... go ahead and give in. You might as well watch it.
Well, here's the good news for everybody who has not seen this movie yet or hasn't seen it enough times yet. Tommy Wiseau, who in the past was very, very controlling of this film.
There's no streaming version of this film.
He did not want this film to be available to anybody. He wanted everybody to go to him to buy copies of this film. He, on Friday, changed his mind, apparently, and posted a full version of The Room for free on YouTube.
What?
And it's an unlisted, so you have to know how to get there. It's the secret club of people who know how to get there.
So unlisted means you have to have the link.
You cannot search for The Room and find it.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So we actually have the link right in our notes.
Yes.
For this show.
Yes.
So if you go to this show's page...
Mm-hmm.
Just click on it and you can watch it.
It's right
and then
there.
You can be part of this group of people and you can start quoting all sorts of wild stuff because there are a group of people that are quoting this film.
Uh-huh. It's very quotable.
And it's awful.
Oh, hi, Chip.
That's right.
It is a bad film.
It's tearing me apart.
It is a bad film that has such heart to it. There's such a real feeling to this because it's really Tommy's feelings on film.
This is a foreign person thinking mm-hmm. This is how a Hollywood film should be acted.
Uh-huh.
Should be written.
Should be set. Should be everything.
And there are plenty of scenes that make no sense.
And like, the rest of the cast is just staring, wondering what they're supposed to be doing in this scene.
Now, the homecoming dances are coming out in the next couple of weeks. If you see a group of guys having a picture with a football.
Tuxedos and football.
That's right. And a person falls down or something like that. That could be a scene that is in this movie that has no relevance to anything.
At all.
It's just in it.
It is what it is. The Room is a movie. It is a cult classic at this point. We're watching this film. You should go see it too.
All right. So, Steve, on Monday, there's going to be a whole bunch of new shows that are going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the big show. That's when all the ABC, NBC,
all
CBS.
The networks are coming out with their new fall lineup. Starting yesterday.
Okay, so they all came out. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that's grabbing you before we talk about the one that just grabbed you on Sunday night?
I know that we don't talk about TV very much, and this list of the new shows and the quote-unquote new shows is not very intriguing to me this year either. I look forward to the reboot of Magnum P.I. I think that's going to be a good show.
Okay.
I think that... I think that the not Roseanne Roseanne show is going to be something to watch. It's called The Conners.
Okay.
And I look forward to that. I probably will catch the reboot of Murphy Brown.
Oh my God!
Uh huh.
This
you
is
see,
awful.
Do you see a theme yet here, Chip?
It seems like what they're doing is similar to what they do in the movie, Steve.
Just rehashing the same old thing over and over again. On Friday night, I'm going to have a real debate with myself whether I'm going to watch MacGyver or Dynasty.
Oh, good Lord! So, Steve, the good news is that HBO, Netflix, all the streaming sort of Hulu.
They're producing some amazing television.
Oh, yeah. And there's a big one coming out the week of Halloween, by the way. Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Oh.
A reimagining sort of in probably a little more adult theme.
Really?
So, I'm sorry. A grown-up theme.
Okay.
This is not adult.
Okay.
So anyway, that looks very good. But, Steve, let's get to what you really want to talk about. It happened on Sunday.
On Sunday, October 7th, is the premiere of the 11th season of Doctor Who. And by 11th season, I mean the 11th season of the new Doctor Who that started in 2005. This gets very confusing.
Of course,
the show's
Steve.
Been on for 55 years, so to say the 11th season sounds wrong, because the 11th season was in the 70s. But the new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, is premiering on our TVs on Sunday around the world, simulcast around the world on Sunday, October 7th. Don't call me on Sunday.
Steve, there's a lot of tears running down your face right now.
Oh, yeah.
The joy that seems to be coming right now.
Absolutely. The joy of new Doctor Who. Every time we get a new Doctor, for those of you who don't know this, why are you listening to the show? But those of you who don't know, the Doctor regenerates. It's a different actor portraying the part every 2 or 3 years. And this year, we get our first female Doctor. And she promises to be the best Doctor ever.
She's falling, Steve.
She has been falling for about 90 days. Since Christmas of 2017, she fell out of her TARDIS, and she's plummeting to Earth, has been doing so for 90 days. I hope she'll be all right.
Well, they have great writers. I'm sure that they're going to meet what the fan base needs to have. And they have a built-in fan base.
Built-in fan base, a whole new crew of writers, a whole new showrunner. This is going to be a very different show. The one thing that they've said is if you've never watched an episode of Doctor Who, this is the right time to jump in because it is going to be very different. Very similar, but very different.
All right, Steve, but if we have some listeners who want to join us, say, over at Northern Illinois University, what would we ask them to do?
Well,
or when would we ask them to do it?
There is an esports gaming conference? Is this a conference?
Sure. It looks like it's going to be an event that's going to be over at the STEM Cafe.
Oh.
Over on, let's see, esports gaming technology sportsmanship. I don't know if you know a little bit about, our listeners know a lot about esports, but I can tell you almost every NBA franchise has got involved in esports.
Mm-hmm.
So they definitely see esports, and that is basically playing video games
competitively against
other.
Competitive video gaming. Mm-hmm.
As a future revenue source. They're putting a lot of money into it.
And so we're going to go over to Northern Illinois University on September 27th, that is Thursday, and we're going to go have a conversation about this.
Now, what we have is a number of professors.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have the president of the NIU Esports Club is also going to be one of the panelists. We have a number of people who are with the athletic department. So this is going to be a nice... nice event. It happens Thursday, September 27th at 6:30 p.m., and it goes on for a couple of hours. We're going to go over with hopes of grabbing some people and maybe doing some interviews.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is if you've got young people who have interest in esports, you may want to join us over
mm-hmm.
there. DeKalb's not too far from any place in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And just head over to, it's after work, head over. It's going to be pitch black. It's going to be cold now anyway. My goodness. It's like, summer ended and like all of a sudden they just turned on cold weather.
Yes.
What happened, Steve?
Yeah, that's how it works sometimes. This I am intrigued by the idea of esports. I'm not a gamer in general, but I see the potential of what this is going to be in the future.
Well, we had such a great time at GaryCon a few years
mm-hmm.
ago, and the wonderful people up there and being able to talk to the writers of the game, the people who put together Dungeons & Dragons and stuff like that. I think this is going to be similar. We're going to get people who have a lot of passion for this, and there's going to be a tribe of people who really enjoy this type of entertainment.
And finding those experts to talk to is something that I highly recommend. So we're going to try to see what we can do. Join us on Thursday in NIU for that. And then Saturday morning, bright and early Saturday morning, you and I are going to go to the Blue Box Cafe in Elgin for the 4th annual Southgate Media Group Podcast Marathon.
Now, if you've never been to the Blue Box Cafe...
How dare you?
That's right. Well, come on down to Elgin. It truly is for the Doctor Who person.
Oh, Blue Box Cafe. It's a Doctor Who reference. I get it.
Even if you do not enjoy the Doctor Who, they do have great coffee and sandwiches
and breakfast stuff.
But Southgate Media Group basically has a whole, they are an umbrella with a large group of podcasts are underneath his banner.
There's so many shows that are going to be a part of this on Saturday.
So virtually every hour for the entire day, there's going to be a new presentation. Now, Rob Southgate is going to host. Chris Mao, the owner of the Blue Box Cafe, is going to host. So we're going to have a great, great time kicking this off. I think we are, after they do their introductions, we're the first performers.
We usually are.
Because we're old men.
Because we're up and early.
We have to get our beauty rest, Steve.
That's right. There's so many great shows. Join Southgate Media Group on Saturday. Join us early in the morning. And then stay and listen to some of the other voices of some of these people that are sharing their passions on all sorts of different topics. There's so many things that they cover in Southgate Media Group that it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Yep, live on Saturday. Come and join us next week, and we will share a lot of great information with you. We'll see you at NIU on Thursday, where we'll find out some information, because we know almost nothing about esports.
Well, that's because we're old men now, Steve.
That's right, that's right. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can find our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, for all of that information. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. Just